Well, appreciating nature this time of year, you could say this is the most special time of year of all. On the WDL Newsline from Nebraska, he's doing a book tour, so that's why he's there. Dr. Bruce Beeler, author, Natural Encounters, Biking, Hiking, and Birding Through the Seasons. So, overall, I know naturalists, some have their preferred seasons of the year, but I'm sure the great consensus would be spring into early summer. Would you agree, not only Mid-Atlantic, but other places, that this is the favorite time of the year for outdoors people?
I think it has to be. Certainly for me, as a bird person, it's definitely a high point. The birds are singing, the songbirds are in their beautiful plumages, the flowers are blooming, the leaves are breaking. It's all coming together. It's just such a rush of life that it really lifts us up.
You're speaking to us right now from Nebraska. I guess you're on a tour of the country, but certainly
that's
very
right.
Very familiar with our part of the country here in the Mid-Atlantic region, and maybe people take a lot of things for granted, but there is so much to do and variations in land mass and topography and all that.
You're absolutely right. Maryland and the D.C. area has access to all the different sort of land forms. You go, to the northwest, up past Hagerstown, up towards the Allegheny Plateau. You've got considerable mountains where you get deep snows and cold winters. You go to the east, you've got the Chesapeake Bay, you've got the Delaware Bay, you've got the Delaware Shore. There's so much. Right in the D.C. area, there are all sorts of beautiful green spaces, many of which people don't even know about. The CNO Canal is a wonderful place for biking, for walking, for bird watching. Huntley Meadows to the south and Alexandria is a great weekend spot to go for a walk or go for a bird walk. There are just many, many places, and especially in spring, it's glorious.
Well, you already said D.C. area has some fairly unknown places. What else would you say, people from Delaware, South Jersey? Many of us are pretty much schooled on the beach and the shore and the horseshoe crabs and all, but some hidden feature that most of us don't know about or take for granted in your estimation.
Well, it's one of the most important stopover places for migratory birds. That whole west coast of Delaware Bay, you've got Bombay Hook National Wildlife Refuge. Down near Bethany Beach, you've got Assawoman Wildlife Area. You go down further down, you've got Assateague Island in Maryland that leads into Virginia. There are just all sorts of places where you can do water sport, kayaking, fishing, bird watching, sunning. There's just, lots of things, especially in spring and fall. Those are the times to do those sorts of things. And, of course, summer, too, for the beach.
People are just so active on the job, social media, telephone screens. I suspect this day and age in particular, it's very difficult for an individual who's always working at that pace, or even leisurely at that pace, to kind of slow down and appreciate the outdoors, get some degree of serene solitude from the outdoors, and truly observe around oneself.
And I think that's, you've really touched on an important point is, how do we manage the hours of the day and, set aside time, quiet time, time to take a walk, time to walk the dog, time to get out into the green spaces and just sort of let it all go, let all those worries from work and the office go and soak in nature. Listen to the bird, listen to the spring peepers. Really just try to take that stuff in and sort of draw it into your heart and really allow it to take over you for at least for a while, for a moment. And it's, it's really good for your health. There's no question about it. And I try to do that at least once a day. And I often make a bird list just to give me some focus. I make a list of all the birds that I see when I take the dog out for a walk in the morning. And it really helps me see more. If you're just thinking about what you're going to do at the office, you sort of blank out and you just don't really capture it all.
Yeah, maybe turn off the cell phone, turn off all the other...
Definitely. No cell phone on those walks.
Yeah, although I do know birders and others do like to have a device with them, so perhaps they can try to look up, for example, a species of a bird or some other animal.
Well, you're absolutely right. The apps are excellent, and they allow you to do a lot more than we used to do in the old days, and so I'm not against that, and I use them myself. So I agree with you there. Just maybe silence the bell for the phone ringing so you're not picking up calls.
You're the author of a book, Natural Encounters. Let me ask, have you always been into nature, or did you start as a kid and then got sidetracked in college? Or what's your life trajectory in this regard?
I fell in love with birds when I was 7. That was back in 1958. And more or less stuck with the birds You know, there were some ups and downs, you know, teenage years, things like that. But the birds were there. Sometimes, you know, I'd spend some more time collecting fossils or collecting butterflies. But I always came back to birds. So birds were sort of the fundamental. And they're a good one because, you know, they're around year-round, and you don't have to go to them. They come to you. And it really has been my guide star. And it has paid off, no question about it. It's given me a lot of joy. It's given me a profession. You know, back in the 50s, we didn't think there was a profession of that sort. But in fact, you know, now, you know, we've learned how to make it work. And I have absolutely no regrets. And I recommend birds to everybody.
Well, something you said maybe leads us to a wider discussion. My experience has been talking to people who love and live for the outdoors that it is something out there, whether it be birds or dragonflies or wildflowers or, well, you mentioned fossils or shells on the beach, something that draws them to nature. And then as they're busy pursuing their avocation, then they start appreciating other branches of nature.
Now, that's true. It's one, you know, one step leads to another. And you bump into people with different interests and they push you a little bit and say, you should take a look here. And it really, you know, it's a winding path and there are lots of branches and all of them are fascinating. And, you know, they're all free. Sometimes you need to buy a piece of equipment, a binoculars or a field guide or collecting equipment or something like that. But really, you know, just think of the bounty of nature that, you know, is around the world and it's all for us.
Finally, as you travel the country in part promoting your book, what do you find some average people, maybe with their lives in a city or suburb, they don't know or they don't appreciate or they don't understand about nature?
Well, I'd say that's probably most people in our country, and that's not a surprise. The real love of nature is one of those exceptional things, I think. And the question is, how do we, you know, I can write a book and talk about it, but how do we bring more people into the fold? And, you know, I'm not sure I have an answer to that. People have to spark that interest within themselves. And you can't just will yourself say, well, I want to become interested in birds. Your brain and your heart need to flip a switch and put you on that track. And I wish I knew, you know, the magic formula for flipping that switch, but I'm not sure I do.
All right. Well, thanks so much for talking to us. Maybe we have sparked an additional interest on the part of a listener.
I hope so.